chapter, the first 10 verses. Please listen for the word of God. At one time, you were like a dead person because of the things you did wrong and your offenses against God. You used to act like most people in our world do. You followed the rule of a destructive spiritual power. This is the spirit of disobedience to God's will that is now at work in persons whose lives are characterized by disobedience. At one time, you were like those persons. All of you used to do whatever felt good and whatever you thought you wanted, so that you were children headed for punishment like everyone else. However, God is rich in mercy. God brought us to life with Christ while we were dead as a result of those things that we did wrong. God did this because of the great love that God has for us. You are saved by God's grace, and God raised us up and seated us in the heavens with Christ Jesus. God did this to show future generations the greatness of His grace by the goodness that God has shown to us in Christ Jesus. You are saved by God's grace because of your faith. This salvation is God's gift. It's not something you possessed. It's not something you did that you can be proud of. Instead, we are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned for those good things to be the way that we live our lives. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's be honest, there's no such thing as a free lunch. We're taught that early in life, and yet it seems like every day someone is trying to give us something for nothing. I suppose there are ways that you can get a free lunch. You can get something for nothing if you work hard enough. But usually the amount of effort that you have to put into it isn't worth the reward. Years ago, I ordered a takeout pizza from a local pizza place. And the very nice and helpful young woman who took my order suggested that I have it delivered because delivery was free. Well, of course. Why should I go out when they would deliver it free? I said, sure, but suddenly the cost of the pizza went up. And when I questioned this, she said, oh, the delivery is free, but there's a little added surcharge because you want it delivered. I guess I was paying for my desire to have it delivered, not for the actual delivery. I never quite figured that out, but of course I paid for it anyway. Have you ever noticed that when you buy a new car, the salesman always wants to throw in a bunch of free stuff? But somehow the car costs a little more after all that free stuff has been added. Life is kind of like a balloon. You can squeeze one end and the other end gets bigger. There's the same amount of air in that balloon no matter how you shape it and how you squeeze it. So let's face it, we're going to pay for it. You just don't know when or how much. There is no such thing as a free lunch. So it's no wonder why we are skeptical when the Bible tells us that God offers us the free gift of grace. The author of the letter to the Ephesians tells us that God's grace is a free gift. He writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing. It is a free gift of God." Grace is a gift of God and not the result of anything that we can do. We can't earn it, and we don't deserve it. God gives us this free gift, and we don't have to do anything. Ephesians says very clearly, by grace you have been saved. This is passive. God is doing the saving. We have nothing to do with it. If it's really true, though, that God's gift of grace is a free gift to all people, then why are there some people in this world that are still bad? Does that mean that some people accept the gift and others don't? But if that were true, then it really wouldn't be a free gift, because if you have to accept it, then you have to do something to get the gift, which means it's not really a free gift. It's like those little checks you get in the mail that when you read the fine print, it says, if you cash this, you just subscribe to a magazine for the next 3 years. Since there are still bad people in the world, maybe it is a free gift, but only given to some people. Well, that's certainly not what the Bible tells us. Scripture says over and over again that God's grace is a free gift to all people. So how do we reconcile the fact that there are evil people in the world, and yet grace is a free gift from God for all people? Well, think about this for a minute. Maybe it's not about accepting the gift as much as it is how we experience that gift. When someone gives us a gift, we can put that gift in the middle of our home where we can enjoy it and it can be part of our lives. Or we can stick it in a closet and forget about it until we need a gift for someone else and we use it as a re-gift. Cheryl's mother once gave us one of those little tabletop fountains, little beautiful fountains with the water that rolls over the rocks. We both love the beauty of waterfalls, and we find the sound of rolling water to be relaxing, and we both had stressful jobs, and Cheryl's mother wanted us to have this gift. She gave it to us because she loves us and she wanted to reduce the stress in our lives. She didn't have any expectation of getting anything in return. It was truly a free gift out of her love for us. Now, we could have left it in the box and we could have stuffed it in a closet somewhere. Or we could have put it in the middle of our living room where we could enjoy it and it could help relax and change our lives. God's gift of grace means that God loves us unconditionally in spite of who we are. Regardless of how we act and what we do, God is still active in our lives. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. God is just there. That's the free gift. Reverend Nadia Boltz-Weber is a Lutheran minister. Some of you may have heard about her. She's a poster child for God's grace. She, as a young woman, rebelled against the church, was addicted to drugs and alcohol. She lived a promiscuous lifestyle and stole from others in order to support her habits. But God was still there. God was with her when she woke up in the morning and had no idea where she was or how she got there. God gave her the strength to turn her life around, and now God is working through her life as a leader in God's church. It didn't matter what she did. God was always with her, whether she wanted God there or not. As she says in her book, "If I got what I deserved in this life, I would be in big trouble. So instead, I received that gift of grace for what it is." In this reading from Ephesians, there's a really interesting parallel. The writer begins by saying that we are used to doing whatever feels good and whatever we want, so that we are children headed for punishment like everyone else. That's not a pretty picture. But then verses 4 through 7 describe what God, rich in mercy, brought to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The great love that God gives to all of us is that free gift. And God raised us up and seated us on a throne in heaven with Jesus Christ. God not only gave us new life, but God makes us royalty, raising us up to sit on a throne in heaven with Jesus Christ. The next time you're having a bad day, think about that. When your boss gives you a hard time, just smile. Because you know that you are royalty with our Savior in heaven. Giving us new life means that God puts behind us all of our imperfections, loves us, supports us, and is active in our lives, and all of this is truly a free gift. But the author of Ephesians says it doesn't end there. He makes it clear that God's grace, this new life through Christ, is a gift and not something that we can earn. And most importantly, he does not say that in order to receive the gift, we have to do good things. If that were true, it wouldn't be a gift. He says that through God's grace, we are a new creation. And that new creation was created to do the good work that God wanted done in our world. God's grace opens our eyes and frees us to be the people that God created us to be. Anyone who's ever been to the Grand Canyon knows how incredibly awesome it is. You can't describe it. pictures don't do it justice. The Grand Canyon is 277 miles long, 18 miles wide at its widest point, and a mile deep. To put that in perspective, it is longer than the distance from Pisgah to Paducah, about as wide as it is from here to Frankfurt, and a mile deep. You just cannot imagine this massive hole in the ground unless you stood there on the rim, looked into this chasm, and felt your knees shake in order to really appreciate that view. Most people drive to the rim of the canyon, take a few pictures, and disappear. I've even seen families that drive to the rim of the canyon and won't let the children out, and the parents take pictures and go back to the car and show the pictures to the children. The incredible beauty of this place is a gift from God where everyone can go and experience the beauty of God's creation and the wonder of the power of God. But a very small percentage of people who visit the canyon every year actually tie on their hiking boots, strap on a backpack, and hike to the bottom of the canyon. The shortest trail on the south rim is 7 miles, so you are descending 1 mile on a 7-mile trail. Now, any of you who have ever hiked can imagine how steep that trail is. And I'm not even going to even begin to explain how difficult it is to come back out. Hiking into the canyon offers a completely different experience than standing on the rim and looking over. Inside the canyon, you see different views, different plants and wildlife. It's a lot of work, and sometimes it's a bit painful, but the experience is life-changing. The Grand Canyon is open to everyone who wants to see it, but whether someone stands at the rim and admires the beauty, or hikes down and suffers the pain to see the beauty, will make a difference as to how that experience changes their lives. That's how it is with God's grace. It's a free gift to all people, but whether or not we stand at the rim or hike in, makes a difference in how that grace changes our lives. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the 20th century theologian and martyr, coined the phrase cheap grace. Cheap grace means that grace is a doctrine or a principle and not a life-changing experience. Cheap grace is preaching about forgiveness but not changing, not turning away from the things that hurt others. Cheap grace is going through the motions of having communion but not recognizing that God is present in the sacrament. Cheap grace is saying that God forgives us for our sins, but we can go out and do whatever we want because God's going to love us anyway. In other words, cheap grace is saying that we believe in grace, but we don't live that grace. Bonhoeffer even goes as far as to say, cheap grace is the deadly enemy of the church. God loves us for who we are. Regardless of the decisions we make and the things we do, God will always be present and active in our lives to support us, to help us, and help us pick up those pieces. In fact, God will use our imperfections to do God's work in the world. But we miss the point when this becomes a simple doctrine, a statement of what we believe and not something that we allow to shape and change our lives. When we stand at the rim and take great joy in the fact that God's grace is a free gift, then we believe we are blessed, but we enjoy that blessing and never see God's love in our lives. When we hike that canyon, then the rocks, the dirt, the plants, the wildlife, and even the hard work shapes and changes our lives and allows us to be the people that God created us to be. God's grace is a free gift. We don't deserve it. We cannot earn it. There is no plan B. There are no other options. God is present and active in our lives to help us through the trouble and share in the joy of the good, whether we like it or not, whether we want God's presence or not, God is with us. We don't have to do anything to receive that gift. The only question we have to ask ourselves is how we will allow that gift to change our lives. God's grace is truly a free gift. But are we going to put it in the center of our lives, live in the joy, or are we going to hide it in a closet where it's nothing more than a gift that someone has given us? That's the question. Will you let God's grace change your life? To God be the glory now and forevermore.
I believe in God the Father Almighty.